Warning! This podcast may contain naughty language, including the C word. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. YouTube is Shingles. That's where we talk movies, music, trending news, game sports, current affairs, and anything else that pops into our brains. I am Dave Shingler. And the crowd is here, about to blow, waiting for me to start the show. Cut the curtain, lights go up, I'm home. Whoa!
Hey, Dave.
It's clear. That'll
do. We'll leave it with the Cody Rhodes. Yeah, I like it, mate.
Adrenaline.
The American Nightman.
It's in my soul. Fuck my life, it's Cody Rhodes.
Whoa! And my father said, "Sorry, we're very excited."
When
about...
I was younger.
If you didn't know, people of the podcast world, we're really excited. We've got a bit of a WrestleMania hangover from last week.
Yeah, and it was a bit of an hangover for me as well because, as you're all be aware, there was no show last week.
There was not.
And that's because I was in that there London.
And that there London.
I was in that there London.
Dave went to London to see the Queen.
Down there, that there London.
And Big Smoke.
I was literally just, if you picture the start of EastEnders, the bit of the river that dips down, smack bang in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
I was just south of that, just there, right there.
Just below the Millennium.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see the Millennium Dome from where I was.
Yeah.
Do you know what? On that map, it looks further away than it actually is, but I could, you know, it was right there. It was fucking there.
It's a bit of a swim, though, isn't it?
It's a bit of a swim, but they have got that tunnel that goes underneath the lake.
The tube.
The river.
The tube.
No, there's the walking one, isn't there? There's a walkie one. Yeah, yeah. There's so from Greenwich to the Isle of Dogs. There's a walkie tunnel that you can go under the Thames.
Did not know that.
No, neither did I. I didn't know that until somebody asked, "What's that greeny blue circle thing over there?" And somebody that used to live close to Greenwich went, "Oh, it's the entrance to the tunnel where you can walk under the Thames to get this side."
Has it got a glass roof?
I'm not sure.
That'd be interesting.
I'm not sure at all.
It's had a bit of a glass roof.
So you just look up and see dead bodies, trolleys, bikes, sewage.
You'd just see nothing.
Engorging.
You wouldn't see anything.
It'd just be brown.
It'd just be brown sediment. You wouldn't see anything. It'd just be jet black. It'd just be a layer of crud.
Yeah, just crud. Thames crud. Yeah, so no podcast because I was in London.
Like little babies from the 1800s just scattered everywhere on the ceiling.
Oh, fucking hell.
Child farming was big in London in the 1800s. True.
But, yeah, so it made watching WrestleMania ever so slightly awkward for myself because I was knackered for a start. And I couldn't do the, "It doesn't matter about tomorrow, I'm just going to stay up and watch WrestleMania," because it did matter about tomorrow. So the initial plan was to watch night one on the train back from London because I had the cheap, long train. But getting back to Euston 2 hours before the train with a stinking hangover, fed up of the week, like the thought of waiting in London for 2 hours for my train, which normal Dave would have gone sound. I'm going to go hit some record shops. I'm going to get some coffee. I might have some food. Job's a winner. What that Dave did was spent £65 on another ticket and forgot about his non-refundable ticket that he'd already bought just so I could get home as quick as possible. I arrived back in Stoke before my other train would have left. So,
well, funny that, because I went to London too on Thursday.
Yes.
And I had the opportunity to get an earlier train as well, and I turned it down.
Oh, did you?
Due to the £65 charge.
Yeah, I was fucking, I was just like, I don't
care. I had an hour. I was like, "I can get on that now, can't I?" He was like, "Yeah, but you're paying for this." And I was like, "Oh, mate, I have a day off."
Do you know what? It was, I messaged home and I said, "Look, I've just done this and this is why." And the missus went, "It's absolutely fine. Just come home."
Yeah.
I'm like, sound. So,
I'm not picking you up from the train station.
So I got home and I didn't watch WrestleMania on the train because I was fucked. Like, and I got home and I'm like, right, I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah,
it's the only opportunity I've got because the F1 was on as well, and I'd missed that. And the replay for the F1 was like 8 o'clock at night, So I'm like, I've got enough time now to do Mania, have some food, and then do the F1.
Hmm.
So that's what I did. So I watched night one through half open eyes, and I'm so glad that this year's WrestleMania has been the WrestleMania that I've been waiting for about 15 years.
Yeah. We nearly got into this last night, and we've got a habit now of going, if we're doing a podcast and we start talking, we kind of both automatically go, stop talking.
Stop it, save us.
Because
I think if it was like any other Mania, I'd have just fallen asleep. But it wasn't. It was really fucking good. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So then night two obviously happened on the Sunday night. I was knackered. I went to bed. I went to work. And just, I got home and just went, right, I'm having the TV. I'm watching night two of WrestleMania. You're welcome to sit and watch it with me. It's up to you. But I have got this room and this TV. So on the Monday night, that's when I watched night two of Mania. I do miss having the stamina and youthfulness to actually stay up and watch it live. Because I used to stay up and watch the pay-per-views and then get a couple of hours kip and then go to work. Mm. But now I'm old. I can't do that anymore. Because I get up the next morning and go, no, not today.
Well, I didn't have work last week, so I watched the whole of WrestleMania. Mm. And normally I don't get the opportunity to watch WrestleMania.
Yes.
And I did get the opportunity to watch WrestleMania. And I've got to say, we had a little bit of this conversation last night.
Mm.
But at the end, when Cody Rhodes lifted his belt above his head, I went, Dave's going to be happy with this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I was like, that is back to best WrestleMania. And the Raw that followed it, back to best Raw.
Do you know what? I think, regardless of Cody finishing the story, if it had have gone the other way, I still would have been happy. It was a fucking brilliant WrestleMania. It was ace. Night one, if we're really breaking it up and getting into the nitty-gritty of it.
Saturday.
You know, night one, there was a couple of matches that were like, it's all right. You know, they're there. They were fun. But yeah. I don't think night two had any of that. It was, night two was just
serious.
Boom, straight through.
Rock's overacting on night one was perfect when he got speared. Jesus Christ, Rock, come on.
Yeah, I mean, go back to the start. I mean, we'll go to the start of night one. A perfect way to open was Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch.
Yep.
I still can't. I love Becky Lynch, right? I really do. I think the character is brilliant. And the way she went from like steampunk Becky to the man, to big time backs, you know, the character development has been really good.
It's just a female, what's his face? Oh God. Roadhouse. Oi. Oi, what's this? She's just a female Conor McGregor. Sorry, I forgot his name then.
Roadhouse.
whenever I see her, I go, Conor McGregor.
I think from when she started in NXT, the character development's been great, and she is a really good in-ring performer. And I don't mean this I'm not being like body shamist or anything like that, but since she's lost a bit more weight, and it was since she's had a child, like she's lost a bit more weight. And it is, you know, she's lost, she went away.
You're on dodgy ground, mate.
She went away, she had a child, she came back, and she's not as bulky as she was before. And now I just don't find the moves in the ring as believable. I just feel like Rhea Ripley is a tank of a woman, and she could literally pull Becky Lynch's head off her body.
That's why she defeated that.
You know what I mean?
I don't think you can put a Becky Lynch to beat Rhea Ripley.
If you put Becky Lynch in the ring with anybody, I just feel like the rest of the roster just look like they could snap her in half, which is a shame because she's really fucking good. Yeah. She's a fantastic in-ring performer. I'm reading her autobiography right now, actually. It's very, very good so far. Mm. yes, it's a good read so far. But yeah, it's just a little. I just find her a little bit unbelievable at the moment, and that's me. That's on me.
Yeah.
But the character's brilliant, and her in ring work is brilliant. But I just can't get behind. I just think, you know, if you put her in the ring with fucking Nia Jax, like,
yeah, no, you can't.
If you did that in real life, Nia Jax would just fucking pick her up and throw her.
Go away. Go away.
You go.
Go away, little person, little strange, red-headed person.
Yeah. We had the tag match.
I love that, I did.
But fucking perfect.
R-Truth messing around.
R-Truth got his WrestleMania moment. You know, he's never won a match at WrestleMania.
Has he not?
No, he's 50, 52, 55, something like that. He's been wrestling since the 90s. He's a former NWA world champion. He's fucking, like, and his character, he's developed this comedic character, and he's never going to be able to get away from that now. He's always
He's
always going to be the comic relief, but he does it so fucking well.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about The Miz. I love The Miz. So for The Awesome Truth to be back together and for him to get his WrestleMania moment is just fucking brilliant.
With Mr. I'm Not Going Bald.
Miz?
No, John Cena.
Oh, that was on Raw, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry, when he came down in. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Cena's. Yeah, he needs just shave his head.
Just shave your head, Cena.
Just put your baseball cap back on.
Yeah.
Shave your head.
Or just shave it.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, it was a brilliant match. It was really good. And the fact that it was like both tag belts, you know, so it was for two titles and you keep going until both of them have been taken down. So, you know, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller getting one lot of belts. Let's see where that goes. The Awesome Truth getting the other set of belts. I can't see it being a longevity thing. You know, it was a WrestleMania moment for R-Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll last a bit, maybe it won't. They're going to have a bit of fun with it, but the belts eventually will be taken away from them and they'll go about...
It's time to be serious now, guys.
Yeah, they'll go about back to the original characters, you know what I mean? That'll all get split up. But yeah, I mean, you know, so, you know, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, Awesome Truth, Judgment Day, DIY... I will, if you're into wrestling now, if you're back into wrestling, right, I will say what you really need to do is go back and watch the whole Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa story.
Mm.
It's some of the best wrestling storytelling ever. From them coming into NXT as a tag team and then... to them, they were feuding. It was so good.
Mm.
It was perfect. It's perfect, perfect storytelling. It's just like Tommaso Ciampa was the perfect heel. It was brilliant. And then it all gets resolved. Like it gets a little bit sketchy in the middle because they get drafted to the main roster and they kind of get put back together as a tag team when the whole feud thing hadn't really resolved.
Mm.
But then, you know, it does end up with them kind of resolving, like, at the end. It was so good. When you just get that perfect storyline. And I feel, because it was mainly on NXT, it might get lost to time and people might forget it. But, you know, if you could just get them... Because it was over a few years.
I've got no idea what match you're on now, are you?
I'm still on the tag match.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Fine.
So one of the tag teams, DIY.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah.
I was like this for about 2 minutes going, yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
No.
So,
yeah,
go Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa were the guys that came down as DX.
Yeah, no, yeah. Fine, carry on. Carry
but
on,
them sorry. Two, their storyline together from when they started at NXT is the best storytelling I have seen. Pretty much ever in wrestling.
Is that Shawn Michaels?
No, it would have been Triple H. It would have been Triple H. That was behind that. Yeah. So, you know, DIY, New Day, New Catch Republic. New Catch Republic, that's a good team. Yeah, that's a couple of good guys there. Yeah, great match. I love a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
Do love a ladder match. The next one, we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade. versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dominic Marina. Dirty Dom Mysterio. Now, I'm sorry, mate. I'm not a fan of Dominic.
Why?
I'm not a fan. I don't think he's very believable.
I don't, mate. I think at first, when he first came into the WWE, I was a bit like, oh, is he getting this push because he's Ray's son? What's going on here? But, you know, he is pretty good in the ring, in all fairness. But I do like this whole Dirty Dom thing that he's got going on.
I just can't get behind the name.
It's, if you go back to the whole Judgment Day storyline with Edge, because Edge started the Judgment Day. So it was Edge and Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, and then Finn Balor come on board. But then Finn Balor, they all turned on Edge, so Edge got the face push again, mm-hmm. and Dirty Dom like turning on Ray. But then they played into the whole. I mean, if you go back years ago, the whole Eddie Guerrero Rey Mysterio feud, where Eddie was saying that he was Dom's actual father. Yeah. Like, so he plays into all that, hence Dom having the Eddie Guerrero mullet, haircut, yeah. You know what I mean? Rhea Ripley taking on the mommy character, like, because Eddie had the I'm Your Pappy t-shirt, so she's got the I'm Your Mommy t-shirt. Like, it's all in the whole thing, I think it's worked really well. Like,
just don't like him.
I think that match, that was one of the matches that was really good. It was really good to watch. Like, there's some great, great spots in it and whatnot. But it was also one of the matches where I was a bit like, I might go get a brew.
Yeah.
I'll keep it on in the background. I'll keep one eye on it. And I'm glad that I didn't completely ignore it.
This was the part.
Because there were some great spots in there.
Like, this was the part where I went to the toilet. You know where you make a cup of tea, you do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I was in there.
A good 11 minute. You know,
how old's Rey Mysterio now?
107.
He's
got
to be really old.
Still looks 12.
He hasn't grown.
No, he's got to be knocking on a bit. I don't know.
I was waiting for him to come on the stage last night.
I remember him watching him. I remember watching him in the '90s, man, in WCW. I used to love the cruiserweight stuff. Like,
Have a feud with Batista?
I believe so. At one point,
It was the weirdest feud. Yeah. Because Batista could genuinely go.
Were they not tagged? Tag team, weren't they? And then,
Mysterio kind of became the most powerful kicking force in the world with his 619.
Mm. Yeah, gets the momentum though, don't he, as he swings?
I've got a lot of momentum. I get Batista like a bomb. Anyway, go on.
Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
They're fucking brilliant.
Yeah, great match.
Yeah, only 11 minutes though. I thought it was longer than that. Only 11 minutes. Yeah, brilliant. There's nothing... I can't say anything about that match, apart from the fact it was fucking brilliant.
Jey Uso was always winning that.
It was great. Yeah, of course he was. It was great. It was fucking Jey and Jimmy in a match at WrestleMania, you know, Rikishi's boys, and it was always going to be fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, two guys, two twins that know each other inside out, that know how each other perform in the ring. Of course they were going to put the best match on.
Yeah.
Fucking ace. The next match was the Brewmaker. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi.
I don't. Like I said,
against Damage Control. It was. I think they threw it in there just to give Bianca Belair, Naomi, and especially Jade Cargill presence at Mania. You know what I mean? Jade Cargill's going to be the next. She's going to get the big push. You know, she was undefeated in AEW, bar the last match. Well, the second to last match. She lost the belt.
You will do if you're moving companies.
But you're moving companies. So she lost the belt. Storyline loses the belt because it was the right time to do it. But then she was coming out of contract, and it was only after she'd lost the belt that she decided to not re-sign. So they did the rematch on Dynamite, I think, where she lost again because she's leaving. So she lost again. And then they did the big hug in the ring and wave to the crowd and farewell, and off she goes to WWE, which, in all fairness, is the best place for her. WWE will be able to develop that character so much better than AEW will. And she's going to get a massive push. So I think she was there just to have some WrestleMania presence, like, so people can see what's going on there. Sami Zayn and Gunter, fucking brilliant. Absolutely.
Not a big Sami Zayn. I'm not a huge Sami Zayn fan.
Fucking love him. Brilliant. One of the best.
I don't know why, neither.
In-ring workers ever.
Oh, God, mate. Jesus Christ. Let's calm down a bit. Eh?
Go back. Go back a couple of years. Have a look for Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura at NXT TakeOver. And then come back to me and go, yeah, you're right.
it's nothing to do with for some reason, when I see him, go, no.
Yeah, he's
really, and I don't know why.
His character's great. He's really good. His character, I mean, the whole thing with the bloodline was just fucking brilliant. A great match. It's good for Sammy. He's got the belt. It's going to be good for his character. And it's brilliant for Gunter, because he's now going to get a push up towards world title shots. And then the main event, Bloodline, Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth freaking Rollins.
Oh, that was a brilliant match.
It was amazing. But when you look at you can see this whole WrestleMania is it's never about the rest of the belts. There's another world title. Seth Rollins is a world champion, was a world champion. And there was another world title match.
It was
just like, it doesn't matter. That one doesn't matter. This whole WrestleMania has been pushed for this story. And you can tell because it was 45 minutes long, this match. 45 minutes.
I thought it was a good match.
You know what I mean?
It didn't feel like 45 minutes.
The Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch was like just short of 20 minutes. And this match got 45 minutes of the card. And it was really good. Rumor has it, speculation has it, that after the match, The Rock was an absolute fucking state because he hasn't wrestled like that for years. I'd imagine it would be similar to yourself if you hadn't played football for 10 years.
I've got stand up in a minute, I'll show you.
And then you went and did the first half.
Yeah. No, The Rock would have been a bigger mess the next day.
Yeah, he was just, apparently he was like, ow, everything hurts. Yeah. Which is slightly hilarious.
Give me 60 massages, please. Yeah.
What a match. And what a story to tell, you know what I mean? It was really good.
Do you know what I don't like about it? Do you know the only complaint I've got about the WrestleMania?
Go on.
The post-show press conferences.
That's a thing now, isn't it?
About them. I don't mind it in boxing, because boxing's a real sport, guys.
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore. But I don't watch them.
I've watched them, and I kind of went like, you've just gone for the boxing thing.
What? I do tell a lie. The best one was when Cody and main event Jey Uso won the tag belts. And they both got a little bit drunk. And then they went out and did the press conference. And it was just really funny. Just watching it.
It's beautiful.
Let's move on to night two.
WrestleMania Saturday.
Let's move on to Drew McIntyre and Seth freaking Rollins. An absolutely brilliant angle with Seth's battered knee from the night before. You know, not being strong enough to defeat Drew McIntyre.
Do you know what?
Go on.
I think his knee was knackered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he has popped his foot.
I've seen what... I know what that pain is. I know what you can and you can't do on it.
Mm.
And if you watch, he gets the injury and he just goes, yeah, we've got to end the match. And I think the rule is in wrestling, I don't know this to be sure, but I think the rule in wrestling is if you get injured, you've got to be pinned.
Yeah, it's...
if it's that bad, if it's your knee and all that lot, it's time to go, you're being pinned.
There's communication between the wrestlers and the ref. So it happened to... What was his name in WWE? His name, he's Pac in AEW, when he was wrestling Chris Jericho, and he fucked his knee, like, or his, it was his knee or his ankle, and he did it, and he kind of, he was like, oh shit, and then, you know, Jericho knows something's wrong, so he's gone over, and as they're on the mat, Jericho's like, can you carry on? And he's, and Pac's gone, no. We need to end it now. So then he does something. Jericho will then turn to the ref. He'll, like, push the ref, and they'll start having an argument. But what he's actually saying, he's shouting, you know, Pat can't finish the match. We need to do this now. I'm going to roll him up, do a quick count, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Let's end it. And so it's all communication, and they just call it on the fly. Ref's got an earpiece in, so, you know, there's communication to the back as well. It's cool. It's clever.
Because it was just how he stood in front of him and went, come on, do it.
But it's, I think that's part of the storyline anyway. You know, he knew, Drew McIntyre was winning anyway.
He was doing fine before his knee went.
But his knee went the night before.
No, I mean, if you watch the fight, during the fight, he's stronger, 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 and you see it collapse.
Mm.
And it's either you're on pills and everything else, so you're on painkillers, it doesn't affect you. And then what's happened is you've just gone doof, and the painkillers have, like, there's just no point in having them. Pain is here.
It's either, it was either an audible, which I don't think it was. I don't think they called an audible to end the match. I think it was part of the storyline.
It's a very good story.
It was, you know, the knee injury from the night before. He's come over and he's wrestling first on the Sunday. Play on the knee injury for the whole thing, and then the end of the match, you realise you can't carry on, so come on, fucking finish me off then, if you're finishing me off. But what I'd forgot about was the Money in the Bank briefcase, because everybody had forgotten about it, because he'd had it for 12 months. Everybody forgot about that. And then it was when he was gloating in front of CM Punk. I literally sat there watching it, and I just went, oh my God, the cash in. And like, my lad's looking at me, and he goes, what are you on about? I went, the cash in. The Money in the Bank hasn't been cashed in yet. He's going to cash in. It's going to happen now. CM Punk's going to have something to do with it. He's going to cash in now. Judgment Day's music hits. And I'm like, this is fucking brilliant. That is perfect. And now you're setting up the Drew McIntyre CM Punk feud for when CM Punk comes back from injury.
Yeah. And he isn't far off.
It's fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I have done a complete 180 on CM Punk. In AEW, and I said this on the podcast, he was a poison in that locker room. And I will stand by that to a certain degree. you know, you may have been trying to make things better for the company, but just let them fucking bury themselves if that's what they're going to do. Let them do their own thing. I just don't think he fitted in that locker room.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
And then he's come back to WWE, and him and Triple H, they've both said one and the other, they're just different people to what they were 10 years ago. You know, Triple H is a different person. CM Punk's a different person to what they were 10 years ago. And apparently he's just been like, he's been like the model employee. He's been doing Make-A-Wish. He's been doing TV spots. He's been doing promotions. He's doing the commentary.
I think he's realised he was a bit of a dick.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean when it's like... But I think they all were. Everybody, Vince, Triple H, fucking CM Punk, I think they were all hot-headed dickheads back then. And then Triple H is now in charge. And CM Punk's changed. And they've come together and gone, ah, we were probably both a bit dickish back then, weren't we? Oh, yeah, let's just forget about it. Let's do some cool stuff now. And it's like, yeah, all right, let's do some cool stuff. And CM Punk's just like, he's going down to the performance center and he's helping with the training. He's meeting the young wrestlers. He's giving them advice.
He's emptying the dishwasher.
Yeah, he's fucking, he's got the Hoover on.
He's got Hoover on.
Yeah, he's fucking...
He's polishing and dusting.
He's like, do you need me to take the ring down? Do you need me to set the ring up? What do you need me to do? The whole commentary and everything, apparently he's just like the best employee. Nobody backstage has got a bad word to say about him. Like, all the wrestlers are like, where the fuck's CM Punk and who's this? He's just like sound as fuck.
He's back on clean living then.
One of the best things I did see though from Raw was, did you see CM Punk's Instagram story?
No.
So he was under the ring. He made his appearance from under the ring to hold onto Drew McIntyre's leg. While he was under the ring apron lifted up a bit, and he could see Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. And he got his phone out and took a picture, tagged them in it, and then put it on his Instagram story while he was under the ring. Which I just find quite amusing. But yeah, fucking a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant ending.
Yeah.
Daniel Priest cashes in. Fucking ace. I'm so glad they did something with that box, with that Money in the Bank briefcase. Because some years it's just like gone to waste.
Yeah, he tells. He sat on that and done well. I laugh.
I'm glad they did that.
And we had the 6-man Philadelphia tag match.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Street Fight.
Which I didn't get.
Bobby Lashley and
Street Profits.
Dawkins and Ford. Yeah, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins.
This is Final Testament.
Oh, that's the. What the fuck? What's that? What's the tag? The Authors of Pain? Is that what they were called?
The Final Testament.
With Paul Ellering, who, for all of his years in wrestling, has never been on a WrestleMania card, Paul Ellering.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, that was a thing. That was the brew making match of that night. But it was still a good match, in all fairness.
I made a brew in about 10 minutes when I saw somebody get defeated.
I do like the Street Profits. LA Knight, AJ Styles was always going to be ace.
I know. I just can't believe AJ didn't win.
That's by the by. I think it didn't matter. LA Knight, his character development's been ace this year, and. None of them are going to, like, kind of lose anything by losing that match. AJ Styles not going to... That won't affect, anybody's thoughts of him or the storyline. It doesn't matter.
Then we had the United States Championship triple threat match with the biggest controversy on planet Earth, because the GOAT was in there.
Randy Orton?
My GOAT, yeah. That's my GOAT.
Randy Orton's fucking ace.
That's my GOAT. I absolutely love Randy Orton. Mm. And I think a perfect ending for that match would have been the RKO on Logan Paul. As Logan Paul started his career doing RKOs into swimming pools.
Yeah. I think keeping the belt on Logan Paul is the best fucking marketing plan ever. I just think it is, because he's this huge, huge star. This huge internet star. He brings eyes to the product, and he pisses people off that this YouTube celebrity is holding this prestigious belt in wrestling. You know what I mean?
You've just got to make it believable to me. You cannot put Logan Paul and Randy Orton in a ring together and say to me, believe me, that Randy Orton is going to lose to this guy.
But it was a triple threat.
No, but...
You know what I mean?
Same with both of them.
That's how they get about it, because it's a triple threat. So they're feuding with each other as well as Logan Paul. So that's how they get around there. You know what I mean? It's not just a one-on-one thing. There's outside interference. I was very, very disappointed. I think it's great.
I was very disappointed.
And in all fairness, man, Logan Paul, considering he should actually be shit in the ring, he's really good.
Were you a bit like me going... I watched Logan when he first came to WWE. Right, twat. Let's see what you're going to do here, Prime Boy. And then the next thing you know, he's doing a somersault through the air, doing, and you're going, oh, okay, that's a moonsault.
Yeah.
That's actually quite good. And that's pretty much how my experience of Logan Paul and wrestling's been.
Do you know, it's great when they get these celebrities in who actually put the work in. Bad Bunny appeared. In wrestling a few years ago, he did a couple of appearances. He hit a fucking Canadian destroyer. Bad Bunny hit a fucking Canadian destroyer. I was like, the fuck? He's been putting the effort in. Apparently, he's a huge wrestling fan. So it was like, what do you need me to do? I'll do fucking anything. Get me in that ring. We'll train.
I suppose if me and you were famous, and the WWE came to us and said, fancy doing a bit, it'd be, oh god,
yeah,
what do you want me to do? I'll pedigree finish, I'll do ropes, or genuinely.
But sometimes when they get the celebrities in, like when Jackass stars went on it and whatnot, they don't know how to take bumps, they don't know how to do these moves and take bumps, and it just looks really fucking awkward when they're in there. Whereas like Bad Bunny, Logan Paul, recently, a recent batch of celebrities that have gone in there, they've put the work in and they've gone, okay, I'm going to do that, but I need to train. So it looks believable. Real. Yeah. And I think it's great. It's great for the product. You know, he's this massive star. He's going to piss off true wrestling fans because he's got this prestigious belt. He's going to bring eyes to the product. He's doing fucking great in the ring. And he's the likable one out of the two brothers. So
I just like Randy Orton.
Randy Orton's fucking ace.
That's it. And when he made his comeback, you're like, is he making a comeback? And then when you see him move, you kind of go, no.
Oh, yeah, he's battered up, man, but, you know, he can still do it.
He can't.
He's always...
His shoulders are shagged.
He's always going to have a place in that company as well, you know what I mean? He'll step into that authority role.
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
It's, I don't know whether that's what he chooses to do or not. He might just decide, you know what, I'm good.
Decide to stay at home.
What is he, a 14, 15-time champion? I can't remember.
Yeah, something like
14,
that.
I think he's 14, isn't he? 14-time champion.
Roughly our age.
Is he still the youngest world champion in WWE history? Yep. He might just go, you know what, I had a good run. It's been fucking nice. I've had some great matches. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah, it's 44, right. Same age as me.
Yeah. Bayley and Io Sky. I'm really glad that Bayley's like a good guy and she's the champion again.
I'm with you.
I just need that side ponytail and the wacky whale.
You put that in there, baby girl.
And inflatable tube, man. Entrance music again. We need a fangirl Bayley back.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Bayley's ace. I love Bayley. Mm. Nothing else to say on that match apart from that. I fucking think Bayley's ace. And I've seen her wrestle, you know. When she was still in NXT, we went to an NXT show in Nottingham. And yeah, it was fucking ace.
Is she good?
Yeah, fucking brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And you know, I went to... That NXT was... It was just getting to the tipping point of NXT, like... dropping the ball a little bit. So it was still kind of on the climb. It was almost on the peak. And then, like, the four horsewomen, of which Bayley was one of them, three of them got drafted to...
Fucks me off, that
to WWE.
There's only one true four horsemen.
Yeah, four horsemen.
Stop it.
So that they'd left. Bayley was injured, so she didn't go. She stayed at NXT. And but there was, like, Enzo and Cass were on the card. Baron Corbin was on the card, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, all on the card. Bailey, was Alexa Bliss on
pre-injury the card? Pre-injury Finn Balor?
I think, yeah. I think Alexa Bliss was on the card. I think she was, yeah. But yeah, she's really, really fucking good. Yeah, main event. Cody and Roman. Bloodline rules match, which I don't actually know the rules to. I just presume that meant anything goes.
He means if Cody tries pin him, somebody pulls him off.
Yeah.
Off on top of him.
It was just perfect.
I think he's bang on.
Perfect fucking storytelling.
I've got one little bit of an improvement that I thought
there's
of the
no
other night.
Such thing.
I've
It was great. Don't ruin it.
When John Cena came down.
Okay.
Yeah. Dun dun dun. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the Undertaker's music, time to play the game. Pedigree.
It would have been great. I understand. However, storyline-wise, you know, he is the Paul Levesque era. He is the boss now. And I think...
But so's The Rock.
And I think putting him into... Yeah, but he's not like... The Rock's on the board, isn't he? The TKO board.
Yeah.
He's not really... He's not active.
He's not in the back looking at the telly.
Yeah, he's not actively involved in the day-to-day running of the WWE. So you can kind of put him in storyline. And I think, like, Triple H in that role he's got now, bringing him in as a character, I don't think it's needed.
I've just got this old romantic and...
Nice nostalgia fest.
Did you see the troll on the internet where they said Triple H returns? Just pre-WrestleMania, and the Bloodline are talking, and it goes, time to play the game. And it's got a full video of him walking in the ring.
Mm.
I clicked on that many times looking for a different video,
yeah.
And they were all the same troll video, which led to an advert at the end, and it was nothing to do with WrestleMania. It was just some little bastard had put it together.
No, perfect match. Perfect storytelling. Went through the motions. Just, yeah, Rock, well, Solo Sikoa first, gets involved. So who comes down for that? Cena, because it was Solo Sikoa that fucked Cena's chance up of beating Roman. So he comes down. So then who comes down for Cena? The final boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of course that's going to happen. They've got...
shouting and swearing like there's no tomorrow.
They've got history. It would have been nice for them to have a little bit more of a ruckus as opposed to The Rock just squashing Cena.
That's you know what I mean? So posh. It would have been nice to
a bit
have
more of a ruckus.
A bit of a ruckus.
Yeah, at least let Cena get a couple of blows in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before you rock bottom.
I think they've beefed him up a little bit too much with this final boss.
And then it should have been Austin. It should have been Stone Cold to come down and get rid of The Rock. But they couldn't come to a financial agreement with him. So it was The Undertaker instead.
I know, but he could have at least put his bloody costume on.
I'd imagine that he was just in the back watching it. And Triple H went, I need a favour. I don't suppose you got your gear with you, have you? No. Okay, well, it's going to have to be American Badass Taker then instead.
Mitch!
So yeah, but for the lights to go out,
the
dong
dicking around aside, perfect.
Yeah, and you know, gets rid of the Rock, and the whole fucking complete circle, Seth Rollins in the Shield uniform, and the whole chair to the back. It was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Roman, they're going to play into this. Roman cannot let that fucking go. It was years ago, and instead of going to therapy, right, he's going to lose his belt because of fucking Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And he turns and hits him with the chair in the back, and it's like, oh, there it is. There's the full circle.
Yep.
There's the full stop on it. Cody wins. Oh, mate. It was poetic.
The finisher to win. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm interested now to see what happens because, you know, I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown, but I've seen a few highlights. I'm very interested to see what happens. Tama Tonga coming into the Bloodline. Right, so Tama Tonga, he was one of the original members of the Bullet Club back in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So this is like Finn Balor's Bullet Club, or Prince Devitt, as he was. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince Devitt, Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, and them lot. Over the years, WWE have accrued pretty much all of the original... is that a cat getting murdered?
I think it was. Sounds like a cat being murdered.
So, they've accrued pretty much all of the original Bullet Club, apart from Bad Luck Fale. He's the only one that they haven't got. So Tama Tonga is Meng or Haku, depending on what company you're watching him in. It says son.
Mm-hmm.
And Meng was in a tag team with one of the Anoa'is, one of Roman's cousins, uncles, granddads, fathers, whatever. Like, so there's that whole Bloodline connection right there. So he's now in the Bloodline. They've turned on Jimmy.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman doesn't know what to do. And is he all like shaky hands? And is this like, this is Solo Sikoa's like Bloodline now? He's going to, okay, we messed up. You know, Jimmy lost. Roman lost. It's like, what do we? So is he going to rebuild the Bloodline? Who else is going to come in? Is Jacob Fatu? Is he going to come in?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the other cousins or something. He's out of contract at the moment. Is he going to come in? Is he going to join this Bloodline? Where is this storyline going? Is The Rock going to be the head of this Bloodline? Is he going to be the head of the table? Are Jimmy and Jay going to get back? Going to get back together? Is this going to be like, you know, fuck, like, are they just going to keep beating up Jimmy? And then is Jay being main event Jey Uso, being the good guy, is he just going to come down to the ring and save his brother? Is that going to happen?
No, The Rock's going to come back in about 3 months and turn on the entire Bloodline.
Or here's the other one. The Rock, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, whoever else comes into it, keep that heel stable going. They're beating the crap out of the Usos, And then Roman's music hits. I can't remember his new music, so that's why I did the Shield one. But Roman's music, he's been gone for 6 months.
Yeah,
his music hits and the pop, the crowd goes crazy, and we get that heel to face turn. We get organic good guy Roman Reigns. Not the WWE going, this is the good guy. And the crowd going, No, it's not. We get organic good guy Roman Reigns, and at WrestleMania 41, we get Roman versus The Rock. The passing of the torch. We get Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, who are probably tag team champions at this point, versus the Usos. We get that old bloodline, new bloodline feud at next year's WrestleMania. We get CM Punk and Drew McIntyre for the belt. You know what I mean? It's a 12-month build-up. We get that match for the belt. CM Punk finally headlines a WrestleMania and wins a world championship. Loses it in a couple of weeks because he's an old man now, but he gets that moment, you know what I mean? I don't know. I would love to see the organic face turn.
You've got to start. The one thing I'll say about Raw and SmackDown right now, it's like watching them in 2006.
I'm holding out for the Netflix deal next year.
Honest, it's like watching them. Just go on to the YouTube, because they've hit YouTube with WWE. It's like there's no tomorrow.
Well,
do the highlights on YouTube.
Yeah, I watch the...
it's like a three-hour show where it summarises it perfectly in 20 minutes.
I watch the This Week on WWE on the network.
Best thing, watch.
Even better
than watching the thing. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to stick to sport.
Yeah, we've done 45 minutes there, haven't we?
I know. We're now moseying towards the twilight of the show.
Sorry to anybody that... No, I'm not. I was going to say sorry to anybody.
Why are you sorry?
That joins in just to listen to us ramble about random crap. But if you don't like wrestling, well...
You're kind of at the wrong show.
Yeah, it's kind of tough now. We've done it, so...
Yeah. And we've got to get back in the swing of things because we have time off and then... We have to get back into it.
Nothing's really happened.
No, not really.
So,
but anyway,
anyway.
Football.
I went London. It was ace. Apart from that, nothing's happened.
Football.
My God.
Hold on. Don't tell me because I can't touch it yet.
Sorry, I've just seen the score.
On Saturday, we started off the Barclays Premier League with Newcastle versus Tottenham, the beautiful Geordie Army. And Newcastle won 4-0 with goals from Isaac twice, Gordon once, and Shaw. Defending, bullet header, fourth goal. Absolute brilliant performance. I was really, really happy with them against Tottenham. I'd like to say hello to Uncle Steve, the Tottenham fan.
Yeah.
To what? Brentford 2, Sheffield United 0. Burnley 1, Brighton 1. Manchester City 5, Luton 1. Kind of standard. Nottingham Forest 2, Wolves 2. Bournemouth 2, Man United 2. And we'll go to our local teams in the Championship. We had Sheffield Wednesday 1, Stoke 1. Now, they scored really close to each other. Oh, they didn't. 68 and 76. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's not too far away.
I was listening to him on the radio while I was driving. And one had scored. And I think I called in the shot, got in. And he turned it to goal for Stoke City. And then we had... How do I describe the Burslem bomb job?
How can they go?
The Burslem bomb job.
From 2-0 up at home.
Port Vale at home yesterday to Exeter. 2-0 up at half time. 31st minute and 40th minute. 57th, 67th, 79th, 89th. Lost 4-2. That, quite simply, is a manager's fault.
Mm-hmm. I was chatting to a...
It's a manager's fault.
I was chatting to Ian at work yesterday, and I'm kind of like, I'm almost kind of glad that it happened, because next season, right, what I could do with is Stoke staying up, Vale going down, Stoke going down, Vale going down, or both of them staying where they are, because I don't think this city can handle a local derby at all.
I hope it goes local derby again.
The coppers don't have the experience like they used to
back
in the
day. They haven't got the
amount. They've got, I swear, the Force, just there's no, they'll have to draft in people from fucking everywhere. Yeah. You're going to have the young hotheads that weren't even there in the 90s.
It's their first time.
Thinking that it's cool to go and fucking smash up some stuff. There's nothing, I couldn't think of anything fucking worse than a local derby. It looks like it's not going to happen.
I just can't under... It's fair enough, it does happen at times where you're 2-0 up, you're coasting and everyone takes a relaxing pill. But if you go in at 2-0 up at half-time and everyone takes a foot off by the time they come back out again, that sits with the manager.
Mm.
And then today we're just having shock after shock after shock by the looks of things.
Yeah.
We had Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1. Oh, Jurgen Klopp, in my last season, I'm going to do a treble, yeah. Fuck off. West Ham 0, Fulham 2. And then at this moment in time, it's Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 2. And Arsenal for the cup, shut up.
In the 93 minutes.
So Premier League table looks as thus. Man City topping it, as I said they would. Arsenal coming second, as I said they would. Liverpool third, as I said they would. Aston Villa fourth, which I wasn't expecting. With Newcastle sitting in sixth place. So we've still got our European qualification marching on. We're not going to hit the Champions League, Dave, because that's a whole 13 points away.
Yeah.
Unless something weird happens to Aston Villa and Tottenham. If we can finish 5th, 6th, happy with
that.
Nice. European nights at St James's Park again.
Yeah.
And as long as everyone doesn't get injured. And something else really made me happy this week about Newcastle. The Brazilian known as Joe Linton signed his new contract. 5-year. And I'm really happy about that because I didn't think he was going to.
Well, we're going to... I think we'll end the show on sports.
On sports,
Considering we've done sports, I've got the news this week from F1. There's been no race this weekend.
End of news.
There was a race last weekend. It ended like we all thought it was going to fucking end with two Red Bulls and a Ferrari on the fucking podium. But the news from this weekend, from this week, is Fernando Alonso has re-signed with Aston Martin.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, I really wanted him to not do that. I wanted him to go to one of the other teams. You know what I mean? There's going to be seats available.
Yep.
Nobody signed with Mercedes yet. I think Russell has, actually. George Russell's. He's signed a long-term contract, but there's a seat going at Mercedes. There'll potentially be a seat going at Red Bull, but Sergio Perez is not doing too bad this season, so they might hold on to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's going to be little seats dropping up here, there, and everywhere. So I was kind of hoping that we would see, you know, Fernando in another car next season, but no, he's stayed with his team. Fair enough. You know, he's the old guard, you know what I mean? He's the oldest guy on the track. Maybe he's just comfortable where he is and he's just like, okay, I'll just stay here. But it's where are they next week? China?
Might be China.
Next week. I know it's an early morning race.
It's China.
But we'll see what happens.
Next week I'm gonna do a feature on Diddy.
Oh, God, there ain't no party like a Diddy party.
Hey, we're going to get into it. I've been writing like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been like...
Bring your shower gel.
I've just been trying to read it and go, what the... I don't understand.
I'm not getting into it now, but there's a lot of people on that list.
Yeah, there ain't no party like a Diddy party. Anyway, yeah, big thank you. We'll close it up there. Big thank you to everybody that listens week in and week out. You guys are awesome. Do not forget to like, subscribe, follow on whatever your favourite podcast platform is. Follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at ShinglesSPC. You can follow me, Shingles _ List, and Cleon. Cleon K. Bewley.
Cleon K.
Bewley. You can go. It's fine. Oh, you can. Yeah. It's cool.
Right. Wait for your rap, mate.
No, it's fine. You can. I'll wrap it up on my own. Don't worry. It's cool. Okay. He's gone. so big thank you to everybody that listens to us. Follow us on the socials. On Instagram, it's Shingles _ List, and it's KLBewley5. It's the same for Threads. And on Facebook, it is Shingles List Podcast. You guys are awesome. And we will see you next time.